This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Let's look further into that Nimitz report, 270 pages worth. Any other details you think are worth mentioning to our listeners? Maybe they hadn't heard before, and without getting into really deep, dark scientific data, would really be interesting.
Sure. You had asked before about sort of how this got started. In the actual study, this is, I have it open in front of me, this is on page 98. Robert Powell, who's one of our executive board members, actually found an article called There I Was, the X-Files edition, which was written by a U.S. Navy fighter pilot called Paco Chiarici. And it was from this article being sent to Robert Powell that this study basically had its genesis. You know, it sort of, that's where it all began. Just in terms of highlights from the study itself, I would just point your readers to the executive summary and some of the conclusions. So, for example, on page 19 of the study, under conclusions, it says, in three separate instances, we have calculated acceleration rates based on testimonies of military witnesses with years of experience and knowledge related to military aircraft characteristics and capabilities. These witnesses include two United States Naval Academy graduates, one with the rank of commander, the other a lieutenant commander. The accelerations demonstrated by the AAV, which is the military's term for UAP, are beyond the capabilities of any known aircraft in the public domain. We do not know the origin of the AAV, nor do we have any information on their means of propulsion. We do believe that sufficient information has been provided in this paper to justify the release of all pertinent information. So that's, you know, kind of early on in the report. And then later on, there are some specific calculations made about the Tic Tac in terms of acceleration, velocity, and power output. And one thing I would highlight to the listeners is found on page 215 and 216 of our study. Those list about nine separate conclusions of the Tic Tac. So I'll just very quickly. Number one, the Tic Tacs are not any aircraft of any known type. They exhibit no aerodynamic airframe, no obvious means of propulsion. Number three, if the Tic Tacs were a missile, they would be smaller and closer to the plane, and it would not have the acceleration calculated from the FLIR video. Four says if the Tic Tac were a missile, as it moved to the left, it would show part of its long airframe changing the diameter of the image, which does not happen. Number five says if the Tic Tac were an F-18, it would be between 18 and 33 miles from the FLIR camera and would likely be identifiable by its shape. Six says the Tic Tacs demonstrate accelerations greater than 40 Gs and most likely much higher. Seven says the FLIR is capable of registering the maximum dimensions of aircraft airframes and showing the aerodynamic structures that support lift and maneuver functions. Eight, the F-18 does not have adequate power to exhibit even the minimum required acceleration for maneuvers observed in the video. And number nine, the Tic Tacs exhibit technological capability far beyond anything that existed in 2004. So that speaks to the point, I think, Randall, that you mentioned earlier, which was even though the Tic Tac in the video, there's no way to prove that was the exact one seen by Fravor and Dietrich, the behavior is consistent.
Something anomalous. The AAV, that would be, was anomalous aerospace vehicle or anomalous aerial vehicle, I'm assuming.
Anomalous aerial, yeah, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
Vehicle.
So whatever it was definitely out of the ordinary. This was not some civilian jet off in the distance like some of these other videos have captured. It was just far too different from that to even consider it.
Yeah, was not a jet. Was not a jet.
And this other thing, too, if this was a secret weapon of some kind from any country, you wonder why they're running around with all this primitive stuff. in flying around the world. Any foreign country who doesn't have our best interests at heart, and we know those prime offenders, they would be exploiting this to the hilt. And we'd be doing the same thing privately. We would say, look what we've got going here. You'd better watch yourself. And a lot of things that go on wouldn't go on.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's why actually Senator Rubio stated on camera at some point in the maybe the past couple of months, at one point he said, you know, it would be better if these were actual extraterrestrials, because if they're not, and, you know, a foreign adversary has this technology, it doesn't bode well for the United States.
Yeah, definitely not. The situation we're looking at here, I know everybody's, you know, just sort of dancing around the obvious here, but let's look at it logically. If we're going to look at it scientifically, that requires at least a modicum of critical thinking. If we're able to eliminate every known man-made natural phenomena that we know about, then the logical leftover is that it's something alien. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean extraterrestrial. We don't know that. We just know it's not from within the boundaries and constructs of our civilization. It's enough to say that it is alien to our civilization. Where they're coming from, we don't know. So we can say it is an alien craft of some kind. Logically, I don't see any reason why that can't be said other than being afraid of the stigmatization.
Yeah, I think you're safe if you say it's alien to our known technology. I think that's a perfectly fine statement to say, as long as you make it clear that that doesn't necessarily imply that it's coming from another planet somewhere. I mean, lots of people have offered hypotheses like, well, maybe it's, you know, humans from the future, maybe they're time traveling and back into the past. Maybe they're from something called inner space, another dimension. In other words, people have offered different possibilities that don't necessarily include physically traveling trillions of miles through outer space to reach the Earth.
Right, the interstellar hypothesis in ufology. Although one would think, and you're going to be having a lecture on that as part of the conference, that the interstellar hypothesis does seem to be the most reasonable of all of them, given scientifically what we know. Because we know that there is this universe that exists. We know other star systems exist. We know other star systems with planets exist. We know there's life in the universe that is ours because we're life and we're evidence of it. And it just doesn't seem that reasonable that it wouldn't be anywhere else. The other stuff, we just don't know. We don't know about other dimensions and future time travel and all the rest. That's purely speculative and science fiction-ish compared to being able to go out to the observatory and look up in the sky and go, yeah, there's Proxima Centauri right there. It's only 4-point-something light years away. Wonder if maybe they came from there.
Yeah, great point. You know, if you, as one of our scientists, Kevin Newth, has stated, if, you know, if you take relativity seriously, then it is very possible that, and this is a big if these phenomena are really extraterrestrial intelligence beings, what have you, and they've figured out a way to travel tremendous distances in a relatively short amount of time, then they may be experiencing time as only a matter of days, whereas on Earth, we're experiencing that same amount of their time as thousands of years.
Yeah, exactly. And
you know, which is
time dilation is a scientific fact. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all quite fascinating. Although recently, though, they detected a major, like a nova event in Proxima, which would have happened about 4 years ago, which they say would have wiped out pretty much all life on any of the planets there that they had previously thought were possible candidates for life. So that's kind of disappointing. And those are the same planets that the Breakthrough Listen people detected that anomalous radio transmission from, if you were following that.
Maybe it was an SOS. I don't know.
I wonder. Who knows? I mean, it was coming straight from there, and it was definitely, they said, it was not natural. It was definitely of technological origin. You know, they didn't know of any local cause that could cause it. And then it was just a few months later that this Nova thing went off. So
We've got more to come with Gene and Randall. And Jonathan, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE. For a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Of course, that radio signal, Randall, may have been a plea for help.
Right. Yeah, just like Jonathan was saying before the break there. I mean, who knows? It could have been. It would be fascinating. I hope the Breakthrough Listen people, well, they're calling it the Breakthrough Starshot, which is the other part of their project. This is the billionaire Yuri Milner who's behind this. He says that they can send these little probes laser-powered probes there that could get there within 20 years and with cameras on them and actually send pictures back, which I think is totally cool. That's from a whole other star system.
Yeah, that would be something. Because Proxima Centauri is only, what, 4.5 light years away?
Yeah, 4.2. Yeah, so, I mean, that's not that bad. I mean, you get all these skeptics saying the distances are so huge it would take millions of years. And it's like, yeah, but did you know the nearest one is only 4.2 light years? So at half the speed of light, it would only take, like, 8.4 years to get there. And then they're like, what? You know, so yeah. It's amazing what a little math and actual science can do.
Mm.
I'm really interested. I'm dying to ask you this. You say you worked for, and this is probably your problem. I'm just hoping I know what's going to come out of this, but you say you worked for United States Strategic Air Command. Now, there's a lot of departments in that, but if you were in there, you might know. Can you confirm that there are these essentially rooms with a bunch of people working, monitoring air traffic that's going on all around the continent and all the way up into space, and that they know what's going on and that they can see when something comes into our airspace or into our atmosphere from outside, that they know that? Can you confirm that?
So what I can say is that, just as a point of fact, I was stationed at Strategic Command, and Bush 1 created this as a joint command, and Strategic Air Command actually was dissolved, or was sort of the responsibilities and roles of Strategic Air Command were rolled into Strategic Command. So we were joint command, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and I worked in a directorate, the J6 directorate, and our job was to basically run huge IBM 9000 mainframes to process data from war games. So the guys,
oh, just like the movie War Games. Yeah.
That was an awesome not as dramatic. The guys in the silos and the subs,
yeah,
and the bombers would, you know, they'd run their simulations on our computers. Yeah, I mean, you know, I remember taking a tour when we first got to STRATCOM, and we were told that STRATCOM was the, you know, we were the backup to NORAD. You know, we had large screens. I mean, none of this is classified. This has all been in news reports. Mm-hmm. Large screens on the wall in the main center of Building 500 because we were the backup. As a matter of fact, there's a really kind of a neat movie that features what was then Strategic Air Command. It was called By Dawn's Early Light. If you haven't seen it, you know, you might want to check it out. It basically showcases what was then Strategic Air Command and, you know, the capability of the known capability of Strategic Air Command and Building 500. In terms of NORAD being able to see in real time, I've never been to NORAD. I can't speak directly about it. The only other thing I can say is that, you know, my non-disclosure agreement is binding for, I would say, another 50 years. So
the reason I ask is that it's kind of hard for me to believe that with all of the monitoring technology at the disposal of the U.S. military through their various departments, that when something is picked up by their systems,
yeah,
that they just kind of go, oh, well, you know, don't pay any attention to that. That's nothing, you know. It's just a bolide or it's just a meteor, and that it's of no interest to them, because it seems to me that it's their job to figure out what this stuff is and that somebody must be paying attention to it. I can't believe they would just go, no, just ignore that, which is what we get.
Yeah.
A lot of the time we just get told, well, they don't pay attention to it. Well, you've got these screens, something's coming into your space. What do you do?
I would be shocked if there was not, you know, some ongoing cataloging process of objects that were seen by, you know, an organization like NORAD. You know, if the statements of Ryan Graves and other pilots who have witnessed these UAP in recent years are accurate, that they're, you know, at one point he said we saw them every day for 2 years, then, you know, it wouldn't surprise me that there are, you know, regular occurrences, and that people at NORAD at some point, you know, are familiar enough with him that they, you know.
What's the normal procedure? Because this is their job to figure this stuff out. So they see it as happening enough. It must get their attention. Somebody must say, well, we better try and figure out what this is and form some kind of a working group, right?
Yeah, I would hope that the, you know, pending UAP report from the Director of National Intelligence would include some data about the, you know, the sightings from NORAD and any regularity of the sightings. If they're on record, I would hope that they include that. I would be shocked, you know, if there were no sightings at all and no ability to track from NORAD.
That takes us back to the kind of the beginning here. We're all looking at this as something brand new, except those of us who remember all the stuff that's gone on since 1947. So, in looking at this, how are they going to fill in those blanks, or are they going to try to fill in those blanks?
Yeah, that's a good question. The Senate gave a list of things that they wanted included in the report. I had that list up earlier today. I don't remember off the top of my head if it included any historical context or anything like that of previous sightings going back, you know, X number of years. And I will just say that, you know, when I first got interested in this topic, I really had to, you know, start doing some digging. And I think this was mentioned before, but, you know, once I acknowledged that, wow, there is something really going on here, I started doing some digging and I found, you know, people like Dr. Alan Hynek. You know, I found people like Chris Stiles in the Shag Harbor UFO incident. I found, you know, these cases like Rendlesham, the Stephenville lights, obviously, you know, Roswell, a lot of stuff about Roswell. But I realized that there's been, you know, 70 years of events like this going on. And I think one of the challenges that that the UAP slash UFO community at large has is communicating that history in a way that is clear and, frankly, you know, rational and scientific.
We got more to come with Jonathan, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Vietnam says they've detected a new, highly transmissible variant of the coronavirus. The country's health ministry said Saturday that the strain they detected had characteristics of both the Indian and UK variants. Early lab tests point to the new variant being highly transmissible through the air. The announcement comes as Vietnam deals with a surge in infections not yet seen in the country. Vietnam has only reported around 7,000 cases of COVID since the beginning of the pandemic, but more than half of those have come in the last month. And after the defeat of a bill to create a congressional commission to investigate the January riots at the Capitol, one House member is calling on President Biden to take action. Democratic Congressman Jerry Connolly of Virginia urged Biden Saturday to form a presidential commission to investigate the riots and make recommendations to prevent future incidents. A Friday vote in the Senate to create a congressional commission fell 6 votes short of passing on Friday. You're listening to USA Radio News. After illegal border crossings hit a 20-year high in April, the migrant surge has continued without a clear plan from the White House to slow it down. Congressman Jason Smith says too many migrants have illegally crossed into the U.S. since January. The Missouri Republican tells Fox News that the Biden administration's border policies have spurred people from all over the world to head for the southern border.
More individuals have illegally crossed the southern border since January 20th than the entire population of Kansas City, Missouri. And you know what the news isn't talking about is the crossing and just relinquishing themselves to the Border Patrol are not just from Mexico and Central America. They're from the Middle East. They're from Asia. They're from Europe. I saw a family of 5 from Romania surrender when I was over there. It's absolutely unacceptable. The world knows that the southern border is open, and this is how you can get de facto residency under a Biden administration.
This is USA Radio News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Jonathan Lace is the PR manager for SCU, and you're in the middle of explaining a lot of things as we go through the history of the UFO field and the phenomenon. Would you go ahead, please?
Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, I think one of the challenges for the UFO/UAP community at large is communicating the history of serious scientific engagement with this topic in a way that's as concise as can be on the one hand, but, you know, as thorough as can be on the other. And I think that's a real challenge. But I want to flag that because I think that it's very easy for people, because of the sheer variety and breadth of literature that's out there on this topic, I think it's very easy for people who are trying to educate themselves on the, you know, topic of UFOs to easily be led down paths that don't necessarily have the strongest scientific backing, for lack of a better phrase. You know, so
you are being diplomatic, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. So
you're doing your job really well.
I do think that's a real challenge, you know, and that's why I thought, you know, Leslie Keene's book when it came out, UFOs, I want to say 2011, 2012, somewhere around there. I just thought it was an incredibly helpful book, and it's something like that, one volume that highlights, you know, the history of the controversy, I think is helpful. And I'm hoping that, you know, whoever reads the classified version of this report on the Hill when it comes out, I hope that they have access to, you know, to some of that history, and I hope that's being provided to them. Because as was said earlier, it's not like, you know, in 2004 we had our first, you know, documented encounter with something that we could not explain. This has been going on for a long time.
Leslie Keene's book, by the way, UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record, was published in 2010, believe it or not.
Okay, I was off by a year.
Okay. Well, that's all right, you're fired right now. Just, I'm sorry about that. We really like you, yeah. But you're fired. John Podesta, by the way, wrote the introduction or foreword to the book.
Yes. Yep. Sure did.
And of course, this just speaks to the point that actually, Gene, you were making earlier, as well as you, Jonathan, is that generals, pilots, and government officials go on record 10 years ago. They went on record. They've been going on record for decades. Mm. And yet people still are saying, well, I think we've gotten to the point where actually most people think it's perfectly reasonable to think that alien visitation is a reality. And the more people I talk to now, they're just going, well, okay, but why are they here?
You know, before we get into a lot of these ramifications, interesting thing to point out here, when we look for more information, the kind of people asking for more information, and you think these are the people who would know. I mean, we go back to the 50s, and Admiral Hillenkoetter was the first head of the CIA. After he retires, he hooks up with Major Donald Keough, his classmate at Annapolis, and he's on NICAP's board asking for more information. We have Woolsey, we have Brennan, two former CIA directors asking for more information, and you think, the CIA, the director of the CIA doesn't know? How can that be?
Yeah, do you mean the recent statements by Woolsey?
Yeah, the recent statements by Woolsey and Brennan, but it goes back to what Hillenkoetter said in the 50s. These guys should have known, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you would think that an intelligence agency of the federal government would concern themselves with something flying through our skies that our pilots, you know, number one, cannot identify, number two, cannot possibly hope to match in terms of performance of aircraft.
Especially people who are at the top of the heap when it comes to intelligence.
Yeah.
Why would they even have to ask that question?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think a lot of it relates to, you know, something that we mentioned before, stigma associated with it. I think that's part of it. I also think that, honestly, until I think the first exoplanet was discovered, and I want to say the late 90s or maybe early 2000s. But before that, you know, there was no confirmed scientific evidence that other planets even existed outside of our solar system. So I do think certain advances in science, you know, for example, the discovery of exoplanets that are now in the thousands that we know about. I do think that it helps to lower the bar of entry, for lack of a better phrase, for people who allow themselves to, you know, frankly, you know, I'll say this, allow themselves to spend the time that's required to, you know, engage this topic in the form of self-study and, you know, finding a couple of good books, watching a couple of good documentaries and, you know, actively pursuing this topic. I mean, it takes time to do that. And I think that, you know, a lot of people just don't have the time. You know, their kids have softball games. You know, they're going to dance practice. You know, I think for most working men and women here in the United States, you know, a lot of them just don't have time, to engage the topic in a way that a lot of us have made time to do.
The first suspected scientific detection of an exoplanet occurred in 1988. Shortly afterwards, the first confirmation of detection came in 1992 with the discovery of several terrestrial mass planets orbiting pulsar PSR B1257+12. Not a very sexy name.
Yeah, so the confirmation was in the 90s, so I think I said late 90s, so.
You're fired.
I know, I'm fired again.
You know, I do that to Randall every week. I fired him 50 times. Yeah. I fired him 50 times this year.
I've done it
twice a week.
You know, it doesn't matter. He can do that as many times as he wants. I'll just keep coming back. Just like the cat came back. Anyhow, I don't know how we get onto this stuff, but I mean, okay, that's absolutely true. Gene and Jonathan, right? Like, but they predicted that was probably the case long before they actually proved it. So, you know, people are also predicting, well, with that many planets out there, there's got to be life. I think it's just a matter of time before they actually find it.
Yeah, if there's no other form of life in the observable universe, you know, it's been said before, but it bears repeating. It just seems like an extraordinarily waste of space.
Hey, definitely, yeah. Okay, here's one for you guys. The United States Space Surveillance Network. Okay, so this is part of Space Force, right? Like, which sounds like a TV show, but apparently it's a real thing as well. Now, okay, United States Space Force Space Surveillance Network detects, tracks, catalogs, and identifies artificial objects orbiting Earth. The program represents a worldwide space surveillance network of dedicated collateral and contributing electro-optical passive radio frequency and radar sensors. Okay, now look, that's just one of the things that they've got. They know what's going on. They have to. There is no way they can't know when they've got that kind of stuff. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, let's get real here.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, as I said, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a, you know, a catalog of tracks, you know.
Well, that's their job. I just read it right now. That's their job. Detects, tracks, catalogs, and identifies artificial objects orbiting Earth. Yeah. Right? So, and so they know when one that doesn't belong there comes in. They have to, because that's what they do with all this stuff. So, okay, so we know they're there. They know they're there. We're just not saying to each other, okay, we both know they're there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How do we bridge that gap, do you think?
Before we bridge any gaps or bridge anything, we're going to bridge these announcements. Put them together, link them. Find the nexus. Why am I doing that? With Gene Randall and Jonathan, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, that's all been linked. And now I'm going to separate everything again. Randall, go ahead.
Right, like we were saying before the break there, is the more that you do dig into this and see what the capabilities are for the various nations around the planet, and in particular the United States with all its advanced technology, to be able to track and identify and catalog these objects, it's just not reasonable to think that they're not doing it, which means they know probably a lot more than we do. And we already know quite a bit just from all of the decades research that responsible ufologists have done that it's going on. So how do we bridge that gap? Because it seems like if they let us know that they know, then we have to know how they know, and that could maybe compromise some kind of a classified tracking system that they don't really want to describe to the rest of the world.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately a political question. And by that, I don't mean, partisan. I mean political in the most general, basic sense. It's a question of residents, citizens who are concerned about this issue, reaching out to their elected representatives and the other people that work for them in government, making a policy change. So that's why I say it's ultimately that the question that you ask is ultimately a political question.
I think I've heard people suggest that, the report that's coming out, if it does contain the kind of information that would confirm to the rest of the world that alien visitation is a reality, that the national security stuff, like, the super secret satellite that's out there, but we don't really want anybody to know it's there, can be whited out. It can be said, we're not going to tell you how we know. We're going to tell you, though, that we know.
Yeah, that's something that we've actually requested formally in a press release. When the study was done on the Nimitz, the 270-page study, one of the things that our scientists did not have access to was the radar data. Now, we understand that releasing the raw radar data would likely reveal national security sources and methods. We don't want to compromise those. We understand there's a need to protect those. But seemingly, a priori, right, there's nothing that would prevent the Director of National Intelligence, Department of Defense, whoever's purview it is, from putting into that report a summary of what the radar data indicated, right? The radar indicated that the object in question moved X distance in X amount of time, indicating a speed of X and a G-force of X, right? That would really be helpful for the scientific community. So we do hope that, whatever comes out next month does, I think it's a long shot, but we do hope it contains some additional sanitized
version of what's been captured on radar.
Then, of course, if we're going to be responsible and scientific, on one hand, you're talking to a believer here. On the other hand, you're talking to someone who is very much a critical thinker. And when I look at the way that Mick West has debunked a couple of the videos, it's pretty clear that we're not looking at anything that's really that out of the ordinary. Like the Go Fast video, I'm not sure if you guys looked at that one, but it's pretty clear there that this is just not some kind of an highly unusual, anomalous object like the Tic Tac.
We haven't put out a statement on either Go Fast or Gimbal. I would say that if you listen to the pilot's reaction in both of those videos, it's very clear that they're seeing something that they are not used to seeing. And especially with the Gimbal video, you know, Ryan Graves, who is now on Twitter, I think it was yesterday, he released, or maybe the day before, released, about 6 or 7 tweets giving more detail about that Gimbal video. And on the Gimbal video, when one of the air crew says, "Look at them, there's a whole fleet of them on the ASA. You know, they're flying against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west." Ryan tweeted out that there were actually, I think he said, 4 to 5 other craft in front of that craft, the Gimbal craft. And,
there's a whole squadron of the things or something. You know, and they were, at the very least, they were powered somehow, and unless the wind at that altitude or wherever it was going a different direction. But it seems like those people would know that.
You just raised, guys, a big question here, which is, we've had this stuff going on for years. Surely many people within the military structure know about it, even though CIA directors apparently are not in the know, nor are presidents of the United States. Still, none of these pilots, none of these witnesses have ever been prepared for any of this at all, period, full stop.
Yeah, that gets back to the need for, really an education in what the scientific community is assessing about, you know, these phenomena. That's why, you know, we've made overtures and outreaches to Congress, members of Congress, both houses of Congress, and basically said, look, you know, this is who we are as the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies. These are the services we offer. If you ever need, you know, any scientific analysis, any scientific input during a hearing or during a study that you're conducting, you know, internally, we'll be happy to assist any way we can. Because, you know, at the end of the day, the data that exists out there about UAP and UFOs, it needs to be public. You know, it needs to be done in the right way. I mean, you know, so in that sense, process matters as much as the policy. So,
Well, that's kind of what you guys are doing with this upcoming conference, is you're raising public awareness in a responsible manner.
Yeah, that's certainly one of the goals of a conference like this. You know, we're also I think today we're beginning a series of short 4 to 5 minute video briefings, just called SCU briefings, that we're going to be putting out on our YouTube channel. We'll be posting on social media as well. The first one deals with the USS Nimitz encounter. It gives a brief overview of the study, how we conducted the study, and what conclusions that we reached. It also includes a brief introduction to who we are and what we mean when we say UAP.
What do you mean when you say UAP? Because, this is an ongoing bit of controversy in the ufology community, and the SCU used to be the Scientific Coalition for Ufology, and then it went to UAP. And when it comes to UAP and UFOs, we're talking about really two different things, aren't we?
I don't know that we are.
How do you guys define it then? Because, I mean, we have the NARCAP definition, right? And then there's the, what's your guys' definition?
Unidentified aerospace phenomenon. And I think we use the term aerospace because we want to include things that can obviously travel outside of the atmosphere or are observed traveling outside of the atmosphere. And I would also add to that, you know, the fact that according to some reports, these objects can actually travel into the water and through the water at very high rates of speed, transmedium in that sense.
Right.
But when we use the term UAP, we mean unidentified aerial or aerospace phenomena.
Okay, and that's the acronym, but do you have a definition that follows that as to exactly what it means? Because in ufology, we do, and so did the U.S. Air Force, and it was quite specific on what it was and what it meant. Is there anything beyond that for UAP, or is it just more general?
I don't think there's a specific definition that we use apart from the fact that, you know, this or that object or phenomenon cannot be positively identified.
Right. Okay. So that's fairly vague then. And what I found is looking at the NARCAP definition theirs is it was very similar to QFO's definition for a UFO, the Center for UFO Studies, which was pretty good, but it wasn't quite the same as the actual official definition from the United States Air Force for UFOs. But it looked pretty clear that when you're talking about UAP, this could be even some unknown natural phenomenon like let's just say, well, some bird or sprite or electrostatic discharge that causes these things to happen that we have previously not understood.
Guys, we will break and have more of this on our next segment with Jonathan, Gene, and Mando. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.